Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all. I know some of you are new believers or have returned to the Lord after wandering for a long time. So as Advent begins today, I'd like to remind you of the meaning of Advent for a moment. The word Advent means coming into place or arrival. The Israelites in the Old Testament had longed for their Messiah to come for a long time, the one promised to deliver and redeem them. Every prophecy about the Messiah first coming was fulfilled when Jesus Christ came as the Lamb of God, sent to take away the sins of the world. Advent is a season of preparation, a time to open our heart to celebrate Christ's first coming and to look ahead with hope and anticipation for his second coming. We are waiting and longing for his return as our judge and redeemer to complete God's ultimate plan of salvation. But our waiting isn't passive. After Jesus ascended to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, as he promised. Through the Spirit, Jesus is present with us, transforming us, guiding us, and strengthening us to work with us in his mission on earth. We are not standing still. We are journeying with him, moving forward toward his kingdom until he comes again. Jesus, who is our hope, love, peace, and joy, came to save us and now dwells within us. Because of this, we can experience his hope, love, peace, and joy in every part of our lives, not in the distant future, but here and now, in the present. The title of this Advent sermon series is Journeying Toward the King. As we prepare our heart to celebrate Christ's first coming and to anticipate his return, we begin this Advent season with our first theme, Moving Forward in Hope. Let's turn to Isaiah 9. Isaiah's prophecy was spoken to his people in desperate circumstances. The Assyrian Empire was rising, threatening to conquer and destroy. The people of Judah faced political instability, spiritual decay, and a sense of hopelessness. Yet, in the midst of this darkness, Isaiah proclaimed God's promises. Verses 6 to 7. The people walking in the darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. With winter here, it is getting darker much earlier these days. So imagine You are driving at night. You are on a pitch black road. No street light. No headlight. Nothing but darkness all around you. You can't see the road ahead, the curves, or the obstacles in your path. You won't know which way to go. It won't take long before you'll be lost, or worse, in a dangerous accident. We can't imagine driving in such a situation and getting to our destination because it's too dangerous and hopeless, and you'll be lost quickly. The thing is, people don't realize that living in spiritual darkness is more immediate danger, far more serious and fatal than driving in physical darkness from an eternal perspective. This world is filled with greed, hatred, suffering, injustice, fear, despair, and hopelessness without knowing God. People in the world are trying to navigate their lives in the spiritual darkness every day. They are struggling to find a way forward. They are turning to human resources to fix their problems or the world. They look to their political system, experts, money, and technology for solutions. Yet they are still in the darkness. It may seem to work for a moment, but things end up looking even darker. They constantly regret without hope. What they don't realize is that what they are truly looking for is God. They are trying to find answers in the wrong places. That is the world we still see today. That's what life without Christ is like. Moving forward with no idea where you are and where to go. Unsure of what's ahead and unable to avoid the dangers in your way. Life without God is like driving in the darkness without light. In the darkness, the first thing we need to do is turn on the light. What we need is light. Imagine turning on the headlights. Suddenly, the road becomes clear. Now you can see the path ahead, the turns and the bumps and the hazard. That light changes everything. It guides you safely toward your destination and gives you confidence to move forward. Light reveals the truth that we couldn't see. Light shows us a clear direction toward true life and brings us peace and joy. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. He gave us a great light. Isaiah says in verse 2, on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. In verse 6, we read, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The child is the hope of the world. God, in his mercy, did not leave us in the darkness, but sent his Son into the world to bring light for salvation. In the midst of darkness, Isaiah pointed this promise of God. This child is the promised Messiah. Centuries later, Matthew connects this promise to Jesus. He does not begin by describing the miraculous birth of Jesus or emphasizing his divinity first. Instead, he roots Jesus in real history. Jesus is not a myth. He is a real person who was born into the world in a specific time to specific people. Let's look at the genealogy of the Jesus in Matthew 1. I won't read all the names, but I'd like to point the important messages God has for us in it. It may seem like just a list of names, but it tells the story of God's grace and faithfulness. Each name is the thread in a fabric of salvation, weaving together God's promises throughout history. There are 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David. 14 from David to the exile to Babylon. And 14 from the exile to the Messiah. We don't know all the names, but there are names in this genealogy that you are familiar with. It's not a list of saints. It is a list of sinners and sufferers like us. Abraham doubted. Jacob deceived. David sinned. Rahab was a prostitute. Ruth was a Gentile. Tamar was abandoned and acted out of desperation. Bathsheba was a victim of scandal and loss, bore deep wounds. Even in exile, when all seemed lost, God included them in the lineage of the Savior. God was working. God's light shines brightest in the darkness, wavering hope through the messiness of human history. We can also see God's faithfulness in the genealogy. He promised Abraham that all nations would be blessed through his descendants. He promised David that his throne would last forever. Through Jesus, these promises were fulfilled. When the world was at its darkest, God's light broke through. Jesus was born, not as a distant king, but as Emmanuel, God with us. This is the hope of Advent, that in our darkest darkness, God came to us. This child, Jesus, is the fulfillment of God's promise to his people. He's the Savior, the one who will lead us into the light. Isaiah gives this child four divine titles: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. These four titles belong to God alone. He is the Mighty God. Jesus brings wisdom, guidance, and understanding into our lives. In the confusion and struggles of life, he is the perfect counselor who shows us the way forward. This child is God himself, the creator of the universe, in human form. His power is unmatched, and his strength gives us eternal hope. Jesus reveals the loving and unchanging and eternal nature of God. He is always with us and will never leave or forsake us. In a world filled with conflict, anxiety, and brokenness, Jesus brings true peace, full reconciliation with God, and the restoration of all things. These four titles show us that this child is the source of all hope. This hope has already come in the form of a child, a Savior who is both God and man, sent to redeem us and set us free. Verse 7 goes on to describe the nature of the kingdom that this child will establish. It says, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. This kingdom will not fade away. It will be eternal. Jesus comes to establish a kingdom of justice and righteousness that will last forever. This is the kingdom that gives us hope, because it is a kingdom of peace and full restoration. The injustices of this world will one day be righted. The brokenness of creation will be healed. And this kingdom will be governed by the wisdom, power, and love of the Prince of Peace himself. As we look ahead to the coming of Christ, we also look ahead to the ultimate fulfillment of his kingdom, when all things will be made new. But even now, in the season of Advent, we can experience his peace and justice in our own lives. As we move forward, we do so with the hope of Christ's reign, knowing that one day he will make all things right. We move forward in hope toward this kingdom because we know that Jesus has come. He has been born into the world, and he continues to be with us. He is a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And he will establish the kingdom of justice and righteousness that will never end. Moving forward in hope toward this kingdom is the core for us in life. But the question is, do we as Christians truly see and live with that hope? Do we believe in the fullness of God's promises and move forward toward his kingdom with confidence? For many of us, the answer may be complicated. Jesus, our true hope, dwells within us, and he is faithfully working in our lives and everywhere. Hope is always present, but we often don't recognize it. We may ask, why is it hard to see the true hope and kingdom at work in my life? I'm going to share a few examples from the Bible. And as you listen, I'd like you to reflect on why you might not have seen hope in your own life and what might need to change in your perspective. God blessed Joseph and was with him, but he was sold as a slave by his brothers. Later in Egypt, he was put in jail unjustly, even though he had been so faithful in all situations. If we had focused on what he was getting and experiencing on his top journey, he would have been so discouraged and would blame God for his life. if we didn't have hope in God, he would have given up his life or had gotten revenge on his brothers. God's way cannot be compared with ours, and his plan is beyond human understanding. In Luke 23, Jesus was crucified with the two criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. They committed crimes. They got caught and crucified for their crimes. There was nothing they could do except bear indescribable pain until their last moment. There was no hope for them. They were in great agony and desperation. They both faced the same crisis in the same circumstances. Jesus was on the cross there, side by side with them. They both had the same experience with Jesus, who is true hope. True hope was already there, right beside them. But one of the criminals found hope before dying, but the other criminal died without hope. One of them was forgiven and will live eternally in paradise with Jesus. The other one was eternally separated from God. The repentant criminal did two things. He confessed he was guilty, saying, "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve." He felt sorry for his sins. He didn't ask Jesus to get him down off of the cross and reduce his extreme pain. He just wanted Jesus to remember him and to be with Jesus. He found hope in Jesus during the most difficult time of his life. How about other criminal? There was no regret or repentance about his sins. He didn't care about what he did to his victims. He was not interested in who Jesus was at all. He was only interested in how he could escape from his trouble. He said to Jesus, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." What he's saying is, if you are God, get me down off the cross. If you can't do that, you are not God. You mean nothing to me. He determines who God is or not based on if God can give him what he wants. His focus was not on God, but on what he could get from God. Of course, he got nothing from Jesus and died with no hope. Paul, before his conversion, imprisoned and even killed those who followed Jesus, believing that he was doing God's will. He misplaced the confidence in his own convictions. He couldn't initially see Jesus' true hope because of his own convictions. The Lord sent the Holy Spirit to his disciples and blessed his first church. They must have prayed for the church and for the kingdom of God every day. But many of them had to flee Israel because of the continued persecution after the death of Stephen. They were scattered throughout the Roman Empire. They might have wondered about the future of the church and questioned where God was in that situation. But God used them as a key part of the rapid spread of the gospel. The gospel has been spread throughout the whole world since then. Do you always remember that God's plan beyond your understanding? Do you recognize that you often focus on what you want from God rather than what He wants for you? Do you realize that you usually perceive, interpret, and act through the lens of your own convictions? Is there room in your heart and mind to hear God's voice? Do you see how challenging realities and uncertainty of your future might prevent you from seeing God already at work in your life? True hope is not rooted in your own agenda, plan, desire, conviction, or understanding, but in God's word, His promise, His character, His Son Jesus Christ. He has come, He has been born into the world, and He continues to be with us. He is the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. He will establish the kingdom of justice and righteousness that will never end. Our God is all-knowing and all-powerful. He's loving and holy and cannot lie. Our hope is firm and secure in Him. He's inviting us to move forward in hope toward His kingdom, keeping our eyes fixed on our true hope, who has come, who is coming, and who will come again. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for the hope You have in Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You for sending the light of the world into our darkness. Help us to move forward in that hope, trusting that Your promises stand firm forever. May we reflect the light of Christ in all we do and point this world to the true hope. In Jesus' name, amen.